Let's get to the agenda from last night. We'll start first. Reports, communications, public participation.
We didn't have any public participation last night, but we did get a report from Samantha Rodewald, our student representative. One of the things she talked about was that our winter sports season is starting to slow down. Not all of our sports are done by any means, but we have some that are finishing up. We have wrestling, and we had five of our kids have qualified for state from McCook Public Schools. We had a couple of our ladies, Michaela Pate and Abby Custard, qualified for state, and then Tristan Campbell, Alex Anthony, and Quentin Terry. They all did really well at the district tournaments, and so they're going to be representing the Bison at the state tournament. Swim, the regular season is over. State is the last event for all of our swimmers. Basketball still kind of going, but they're coming close to the district time of year. So we're coming towards that end. We also talked about, we also have state cheer and dance. That's coming up rather quickly. And next week is National FFA Week, and so we're going to be celebrating our Future Farmers of America group and all the work that they do. Great group of kids, very impactful group, actually. And they really make us proud in McCook Public Schools, and so it'll be a great week to recognize those kids and their sponsors and all the helpers. A lot of folks involved with that. And then Bison Days, Samantha mentioned Bison's Days was last week, and it went really, really well. And I got to admit it did. I had a chance to go around and visit. Not all of them, obviously. There's just so many different community groups that are involved and organizations, but I was able to visit a few of those. And it was fun to watch our students engaging in both fun activities and also future potential career activities. We saw kids putting motors on boats and laying floors and throwing hatchets at the new facility downtown that's going to be opening up soon. And our kids were really engaged and really involved. And so we appreciate all of the community members that support that program and those 2 days. And we just continue to hope to see that grow and expand more. And so I really appreciate it. And that's what she commented on.
Any other public comments?
Nope, no public comments from last night's board meeting.
Student board, you said Samantha talked about that.
Yeah.
Approval expenditures, payroll.
All that approved.
Exactly. Reports from staff members and committees?
We didn't have any staff or committee reports last night. After January, we actually had to put together our new committee assignments. So later in the board meeting, we shared with the Board of Education their new committee assignments for the upcoming school year. And there were some changes to that, some different chair positions. And with two new members to the Board of Education, we had to find good places to place those two individuals so that they're ready to roll with committees. Once we start meeting, we'll be starting to meet with those here in the next week or two. We've got some finance and facilities committees that need to take place. We also need to get our policy committee together to start our review of our policy manual. So all that's coming up very shortly. I commented, we can go into my report from the superintendent. I took up probably the bulk of the board meeting last night. It's our February board meeting, and I give our annual report every year, obviously. And last night was the night I was able to do that. And I kind of look forward to this meeting. Not everybody in attendance does, because it's a little bit lengthy. But last night wasn't too bad, I don't think. 45 minutes or so for that report. And I was able to cover quite a bit. And so what do I talk about in the board report? I talk about school improvement. I talk about state assessment scores. I talk about our locally developed criterion reference test scores. I talk about our district demographics. I talk about perceptual data, which is our surveys we do with parents earlier in the year. And then we also talk about concerns and successes from the previous year. And so there are some things I'd like to visit with a little bit right now as we over the radio, because I think that some of our community members that weren't in attendance might be interested in knowing some of this information. So last night I started off with sharing about our school improvement goals, and I'm going to read off our official student school improvement goal. It's directly and significantly impact student learning through the implementation of comprehensive instructional program approach focused on high-quality teacher training, collaboration, curriculum development, assessment development, and multi-tiered systems, or multi-tiered student learning support structures. So that is a big mouthful right there. And and so for teachers who are listening, they get that. They understand that. But that's a little bit more difficult for our community to really understand what we're trying to accomplish. So at the board meeting, I also shared that how we communicate that. And basically, when we talk about that school improvement goal, what we're talking about is our teachers meeting regularly, and actually in the cook, we meet on a weekly basis, and we work in collaborative teams to discuss and design, actually build and create our own high-quality curriculum locally. And then we also create the assessments directly that measure that. We're going to talk about our assessment results a little bit later in this radio interview. And then also the group discuss and share best instructional strategies. So these conversations kind of have four headlines that are important for our community to understand. When we talk about school improvement, we're really trying to improve instruction and student learning by having a high-quality curriculum, creating those assessments, our teaching, and also our interventions. So that's what our teachers do on Wednesday. They work on those four areas, and they work on some other things as well. Wednesdays are the days where you get to do the work of the school district, but the focus is on those four elements, and it's important that we do that. It's important that we're constantly looking at our curriculum and reviewing it and making sure that our assessments are high quality, that they're valid, they actually tell us what they're intended to tell us, and that our instruction is of the highest level. So teachers will share the instructional strategies they used in their classroom that had a high impact on students so other teachers can emulate that. And then, of course, when we talk about intervention, not all kids learn the content or the material the first time around. So we have to have strategies in place or interventions in place to get those young folks up to speed in those content areas so that our goal is all of our students mastering our local curriculum. And so that's kind of our school improvement goals, just to work on those areas in a collaborative way. We also talked about the state assessment information, and so annually I get to come in here and just basically talk about how we compare to the state. At this point in time, we again do very, very well against the state of Nebraska. Over the course of the last over a decade, we compare very well against the state of Nebraska. We focus on English language arts, which of course is reading and writing and English skill sets. We outperform the state of Nebraska in every area on scale scores. We perform very well. We also outperform the state of Nebraska in every area in mathematics. And again, those are using the scale scores. And then in science, we have two grade levels that are tested in science. And at one of those levels, we performed under the state, and at the other one, we performed above the state of Nebraska. And one of the things I wanted to point out to the Board of Education last night that I think is interesting, that the grade level, fifth grade, we performed below the state of Nebraska on the scale score. But when we go into our proficiency scores, so the state of Nebraska looks at shares data in several forms. They give us a scale score, which is not a raw score. It's a different type of score. It's supposed to be a continuous scale from grade 3 on through 12, where we were lower. But our proficiency scores, when we look at math, are higher than the state of Nebraska's. So I had to talk a little bit about why that is. And that's a difficult thing to explain, to be quite honest with you. Well, we have more students in McCook, Nebraska, that are proficient in mathematics, but our scale score is actually a little bit lower. And so it was a good conversation, but at the same time, it helped to point out that there's sort of some inconsistencies with the state of Nebraska's assessment process. There are easier ways to assess our students across the state of Nebraska, and I'm actually not against a state assessment. I've never really had any issues with the state assessments, but I do think the state assessment process should be a good one that parents can understand what the scores mean, administrators understand what the scores mean, teachers and students. Everyone should be able to understand what the scores mean. Unfortunately, the way that we test in Nebraska, that makes it really difficult. And I'm going to give you a quick example. When we get a scale score in, let's say, I'll pick one out randomly here, fourth grade English language arts, our scale score is 2,515, and the state's was 2,495. Now, that 2,000 doesn't mean anything other than the fact that it's English language arts, so it's an indicator of the content area. In the 515 and the 495, that isn't actually a raw score. It's a scaled score that is, they do some they have these psychometricians that work out these numbers. And if you ever become a psychometrician, that's a good career field because no one knows if you're right or wrong. But you can't really compare those scores very, very easily. And a scale score, like I said earlier, is supposed to be something that you measure linear over a period of time. Like you should see growth year after year. The problem is with the way to do that, you have to have an adaptive assessment. And when you do a state assessment, you can't have questions outside your grade level. So when you do an adaptive assessment, it's within the grade level. It just, In other words, it's not a great way to assess our kids. And I think some of our older assessments that we used to use maybe, you know, 8-9 years ago were better assessments because we got back a raw score and then we really knew where we were at. And so because of that, and the reason I'm sharing so much about that, we recognized this when they first started going down this road, that these assessment scores weren't going to be as useful to us as they once were. And so we have always been, well, we've been doing for the last 13 years or 12 years, we've been doing our criterion reference tests. And so a lot of times you'll hear me refer to CRT, and in McCook, CRTs refer to criterion reference tests. That's what we're talking about. Those are the CRTs that we have. And a criterion reference test is a test that's specifically designed, or it's an assessment designed by our teacher teams, our collaborative teams, to measure student performance against a specific set of predetermined curriculum or learning objectives. So our learning objectives are, it's our curriculum that we developed locally, and we have tests, our CRTs, that measure exactly what we're teaching. We want to know exactly how many of our students mastered what we're teaching. So we've been doing that for a number of years, and so we've had the tests in place, but we didn't collect the assessment data at the district level, the building level. We did it at the classroom level. And so to sort of give better information to our Board of Education, we've started to collect that data at the classroom and building level so that when we come into the annual report every year, and this being basically the first year, we're able to report directly on how our students are performing on the curriculum that we teach. And so I presented a lot of data last night to our Board of Education. And one of the things I do need to say is we are early in the steps of getting this done. It takes a little bit of work to get the collection process in place and a way to look at the data and a simplified format that you can, that's understandable and readable. But we're pretty close to having this worked out. And so I was able to share with the board some of our assessment data based off of our curriculum. And across, so here's a really big 5,000-foot view of McCook Public Schools. We talk about our local curriculum assessed off of our criterion reference tests and math. 90% of our students demonstrated mastery or a mastery level on our math essential learning objectives. In science, we had 83.9% of our students demonstrate mastery of our essential learning objectives. And English language arts, which again is reading, writing, and English, 91% of our students showed mastery in those areas. So we're now, this data is good data. It's not perfect yet. There's some information missing still. But next year, I really believe that I'm going to have some high-quality data to share with the Board of Education. I think that when we look at the district-level data right now, it's good data, but it's just not great yet. We're going to be great. I believe we'll have it in a great position next school year as we just are more consistent with our input of our test information. And we can break this data down into the grade levels. So I shared with the Board of Education math, English language arts, and science in grades 4 through 8. And then also I share math and English language arts with grades K through 3. And I'll just pull one out here again. So at, let's say, science in the fourth grade, we demonstrated 85% proficiency on our essential learning objectives. So, and I've got that for every grade level. And we can do kindergarten. I'll throw out a kindergarten score in mathematics. 92.22% of our kindergartners demonstrated mastery of our essential learning objectives. So that data, I think, is far more valuable in the absence of a better state assessment. And I think it's important for our community and our board to know the great job that our teachers are actually doing with the curriculum that we're intending to teach. Now, one thing I skipped over, and I'm going to have to go back in my sheet. I got my big documents here, my sheet here. The ACT results. Now, that is something, I don't know if it should be used as a state assessment, but everybody understands the ACT, and we can kind of look at the ACT. So, again, the state of Nebraska always does things a little bit differently. This isn't necessarily a bad thing, but what they do is our kids in McCook, when we take this, all of our juniors take this assessment. In fact, all juniors across the state take the ACT. They combine the reading, writing, and English score together, and they create an English language art score. Again, psychometricians somehow work these numbers out. So our English language arts ACT score is a 19, and that's a little bit lower than what we've had in the past. In fact, all of our scores are a little bit lower in the past. But we saw that as a trend. So the state of Nebraska was 16.7. Well, that's quite a bit lower for the state of Nebraska. So they saw a significant drop in their performance. And of course, these were taken last year. Mathematics score was 18.6. The state of Nebraska was a 17.7. And in science, we had a 19.9. And the state of Nebraska had an 18.1. We all dropped. Now, McCook didn't drop as significantly as the state of Nebraska did, but we did have a drop. And when we think about why did we see those drops occur, I think one of the things we need to understand is that the pandemic still is impacting, well, especially last year's junior class, impacted our student scores. And so we're going to see this maybe for a little bit longer. We'll have to wait and see how long this is going to take to work out. We did well. Nebraska still outperforms the rest of the nation, not the rest of the nation. They're one of the top five performing states in the nation. So when we beat the state of Nebraska, we're actually doing a nice job, but the scores aren't really where we want them to be. And so we've got some work ahead of us to get those back up to where, you know, we're in the 20s. And so we're working hard, and we know we're going to get back up there. It's just going to take some time and try to find those gaps that occurred when we didn't have kids in school and fill those gaps to make sure everyone's ready to go. And going on, this is a longer part, I apologize. A lot of good stuff, a lot of good stuff. So I also talked about some demographic information, talked about free and reduced lunch prices. I showed a line graph to the board. It showed that the states and Nebraska's free and reduced lunch numbers have dropped fairly dramatically by about 10 percentage points. And the reason for that, last year, in the year prior, there was free meals from the federal government, so people just didn't fill out the forms. I expect, since that has ended, that those free and reduced lunch numbers are going to slowly increase over the next couple of years. The same thing happened basically with student membership. So the pandemic, we had a drastic decline in our student membership. In 2021... we had about 1,374 students enrolled in McCook Public Schools. That is a 15-year low mark for McCook. And if you look at the line graph, it's a very significant line dropping down. Mm-hmm. And then last year we had a slight increase. We bounced up a little bit, and then this year we're at 1,401. So again, we bounced back. The last 2 years we've come back up a little bit. Still not where we are pre-pandemic numbers, but we're on the rise. And so a lot of families opted their students out for homeschooling due to the pandemic, and we're seeing those numbers actually start to increase now, back on the increase. And so we're glad to see that. And that does impact finances. So the number of students you have in your school district, that impacts your state aid dollars. We talked about local support for McCook Public Schools. So part of this annual report, we talk about the financial situation that the school district is in. We talked first about receipts. And one of the things that I don't want to get too deep into the weeds here, but one thing I think the community should know is about just slightly less than 50% of the dollars coming into McCook come from local property taxpayers. So the local community pays about 49% of our overall, provides receipts for 49% of our budget, and the other 51% comes from both state and federal being about 10% of that, and the state being about 40, a little over 40%. And so that's where our dollars come from to support our school. And then I also talk about expenditures. So where are all the dollars going? What are we spending on? And all instruction is our biggest expenditure. It's and then with the support and support services, those are our biggest expenditures. And one of the things that I like to do, and I did this at our pink card meeting earlier in the school year, and I think it's pretty important for everyone to understand, when we talk about school budgets, 85% here locally, 84.2% of our budget is people. So when we talk about where are we spending the money, we're spending it basically on human beings doing the work of the school district. So teachers, paras, maintenance folks, custodians, secretarial people, administrators, school psychologists, that's where our dollars are going. Where the rest of those dollars, about 15.8%, is going to non-staff budget. So that's buses, fuel, so diesel, gas, natural gas, heating, electricity, all of our equipment, our materials, textbooks, paper, copy machines, and all those other things. That's 15% of our budget. So when we talk about restricting or cutting back on school budgets, what we're really talking about, the only place to really move with our budget is in staffing. And of course, that impacts programs. Then I talked a little bit about our state aid impact, and one of the things I like to share is that I have a nice line graph. I never saw this. I've never done this line graph before. I put it together and go, oh, that's good information. Because in a line graph, you can see, and I'm showing Rich right now, that when state aid goes up, our local property tax requests go down. And when they're even, they're pretty even. And when state aid goes down, our property tax requests go up. So state aid has a direct impact on what we request from our local property owners. And that's that's easy. Visually, it made a lot of sense to me. I always knew it mentally, but then I looked at it like, oh, that's a pretty good graph. And so I wanted to share that with the board to show them how the dollars work. Talked a little bit. We did survey data. Talked a little bit about the surveys that the parents did. We did it at all four buildings, and we disseminated that information out. And the information from those surveys is overwhelmingly positive. And we got into a few of the questions, and we talked about those responses. Talked a little bit about how technology and technology use is part of that survey, and the number of kids that do and do not have access to the internet at home. One of the questions we asked, or two of the questions we asked, had related to do you know what our mission statement is with McCook Public Schools? And the other question is, do you know what our school improvement goal is? Now, I've already shared our school improvement goal here on our show here, but again, I'll repeat that on a weekly basis. Teachers work in collaborative teams to discuss and design high-quality curriculum and assessments, and to discuss and share best instructional practices, and that includes intervention. But our mission statement, which is equipping all students to succeed in a complex global society. So the results from that show that most folks did know. We had more than half of our families knew what our mission statement was, but our school improvement goal was not well known. And so I get that. School improvement goal is harder to share. It's harder to remember, to be honest with you, because it's got all those words in it. But it is important for us to make sure that the community knows that we're working on those areas of curriculum assessment, instruction, and intervention. And I'm going to keep going to the next page. And then I also had a, then there was some other news that's kind of, isn't what we really want to share, but we need to share. And that is, we presented our graduation rate last, we brought it up. I had to add it to the agenda or the report. Our graduation rate is 87%, which is considerably lower than what we've had in the past. The state of Nebraska's graduation rate is 87% as well. In McCook, we've been in the low 90s. We've done really well with graduation. And I think that, again, I think we got some work here to do. We have some of those young folks that are still working on earning their degrees. So not everyone graduates in 4 years. We graduate a lot of our kids, most of our kids, obviously. But some of those kids, it takes a little bit longer than 4 years, and that's one of the reasons for that 87%. And it does have to be earned. We would love to have 100% graduation rate. But we can't do that at the sake of lowering the bar. And so I think with the pandemic and with some of those types of issues and making sure our support structures are in a good place, that we're really providing interventions at the right times and giving the right interventions, we can increase that score back up into the low 90s. But it's a real number, and we need to share it with the community. And then our college going rate was 72%, which is slightly lower than the state of Nebraska's, which is 73%. We believe that we're probably a little higher than 72% because of the way the state tracks those numbers. How they track that is every student has a student ID number, and all the colleges in the state of Nebraska share that student ID number. So when a student goes from McCook High School to McCook Community College, that student ID number follows them. When you go out of state, that isn't necessarily the case. And McCook and a few schools, I think, in southern Nebraska, or if you're near the border, a lot of times some out-of-state colleges will get some of your students. I know we send a number to Goodland. We send a number to Fort Hays State. And so we think that impacts it a little bit. We still would like to see that higher. At least, we'd like to see more of our kids going to MCC and learning some of the trades there and some more of our kids going to the university. So we're working on that. It's one of the things we have to address. It's one of the concerns I mentioned on the last page. And so I'll talk about some of our concerns. I just mentioned one, which is our college going rate and our graduation rate. Making sure our CRT data collection efforts are well thought out and we have good data next year when I present to the board, really solid data. Some of our successes, the state of as a district, we outperform the state again in all content areas across the board. And so far, we have been able to address our hiring needs. Hiring's getting more difficult. Now, I'm saying that right now, we're still looking for a couple science teachers. So far, we've done well, but we are in the market for a couple of science teachers, and our student numbers have started to bounce back a little bit after the pandemic. So.
Wow.
I know, and that's the very beginning of the meeting.
I know it.
But that's important information.
Oh,
I think
without a doubt. No
our
question.
Community really needs to know that so they know what we're doing up here.
Let's get through some of this next part of the meeting real quickly. What's
sure.
Some other ones we can, where we're starting for staff development, I guess, or?
Yeah, I talked about school improvement already, mm-hmm. And so then I can go on. I did present a draft calendar to the Board of Education, and that'll be approved at the March meeting. Textbook adoption this year, we're working on science textbook adoptions. Some of that work might be done online, and some of our teachers actually might put together some of the material. So the purchase of textbooks might not be as large as it has been in the past. And we have curriculum days. Teachers are working in the curriculum buildings right now across the district to work on English, science, math, social sciences. They're working in teams to review curriculum right now and to make sure that it's appropriate and that it has good assessments evaluated in it. And then we had the business manager's report, and Jeff talked. Let me grab that other document. One of the things that Jeff really wanted to focus on last night was that as we're getting the bills for all of the different things that we purchase, things are getting expensive. And so we're being impacted by the increase in the costs of the different items that we have to purchase. So when we buy a copper coil system for an air handling unit, the prices on those have tripled over the last few years. When the junior high has a lot of old infrastructure in it, and we just had one go out, and not only is it more expensive, it takes 6 to 10 weeks to get it in. And so you're going without some of the things that we really need to run efficiently and effectively. And he also talked a little bit about the wellness committee last night. We have a wellness policy, and that committee works really hard to make sure that McCook Public Schools is engaged in healthy activities and encouraging both staff members and also our students to engage in healthy activities. People that are part of that are students. So we have a committee that meets. We have teachers. We have students. We have parents. We have food service employees and also administrators. And I know our school nurse is obviously very involved with that. So a lot of work goes into that. And so a few minor changes have been made. And they also have to make sure that they're in alignment with the state guidelines. So they have to do a comparative analysis between the two policies and the policy recommendations. And then board comments. We did not have any board comments other than the fact that we do have new committee assignments from last night.
New business approved and you had some resignations last night?
Yeah, Chelsea Jonte was a science teacher at the junior high school. She's accepted a position, I think, closer to her family and home in Southwest at Southwest High School. So we're going to be public schools, I guess I should say. So we're going to miss her. She's done an excellent job. She'll do very well out Southwest. They did a good job getting her out there, and so she'll do well. So we're in the market for two science teachers right now. I know we have four interviews lined up, so we're going to work really hard to try to influence these young folks to come to McCook and work with our kids.
The Central Elementary roofing project?
Yeah, that was a project. That roof has never been touched since the building was built. It is a metal roof, so it has greater longevity. We're not going to replace the metal on top, but there is a sealant that we can put on there to help increase its longevity and provide greater water tightness, basically. And so we approved a bid last night at the board meeting for that project to be completed. And and we look forward to getting that done. We do have a few more roofing projects coming up. We're going to be doing that high school gymnasium gym this summer. That's already been approved, and so we're going to be doing. And then I think the elementary library is going to get a new roof as well coming up. But that was not discussed last night. That's just information for everyone.
All right, starting to think about some of those summer projects already. Aren't
yeah,
you?
Yeah. We actually have to start doing that. Got a few big ones on the docket. Not as big as last summer, but it'll be a busy summer again.
Teacher evaluation tool, was that?
Yeah, we made one change to our teacher evaluation tool. That change has to do with classroom management, and it was just providing clear language to the administrator and to the teacher, because you provide these to the teachers at the beginning of the year, of what we're really going to be evaluating them on as far as classroom management. So that language was added. The rest of the document's exactly the same. The board did approve that change to the teacher evaluation form, and now that goes to the state of Nebraska, the Department of Education, for final approval. Once that's done, it'll be ready to go for next school year.
Okay. Positive comments. Yeah.
All right. Well, we start last night with Samantha, and she talked about the Bison Days presenters and how they all did a great job. And she really appreciated how community members were very generous. And so she specifically talked about going out to the copper mill, and they made food. And that food that they made wasn't cheap. And so they were willing to basically donate not only their time, but their product to our students so they could have a great experience. And my son was involved with that one as well. And he said it was outstanding. And it was one of the best ones he's ever been to in all his time with Bison Days. So, but all of our presenters do a great job of providing for our kids, giving them hands-on experiences. And that's really what this is about, letting our kids really experience that, get their hands on it, see what it's like to do that type of work. And again, I mentioned earlier, some of the things I saw were just quite impressive. Scott Barger was impressed with the variety offered during the Bison Days event. He noticed that we have a lot of different folks from a lot of different arenas involved with it. And he also thanked Ms. Jennings and the 8th grade math for the work that they do with the math competition coming up. Charlie thanked, McPherson thanks for the precautions with the escaped inmate yesterday morning. We did go into secure mode, which is just a tightened sense of security in the building. We have more folks out in the hallways. We greet the kids when they come in. We have the doors locked during passing times, those types of things. So, and then just greater supervision. So we didn't feel like that individual was in the community, but you know, we just didn't want to take any chances. There's no point when we can set up a secure environment for the kids. Mike talked about Bison Days and what a great event. It keeps expanding and opening doors for a lot of kids. He really was focusing on the fact that our students get an opportunity to see different career fields and be able to engage with them, at least to a certain extent, that might encourage them. And then he also talked about the basketball teams doing a great job. And one of the things he commented on that specifically was just the growth that he's seen over the course of the year for both our boys and our girls teams, and how they've really, really gotten a lot better during the course of the year and overcome some obstacles. We've had some injuries, and so kids have had to step up, and they've done a great job. And just the wrestlers doing a great job and working hard. Tom talked about Bison Days, and one of the things that he wanted to point out was McCook Community Foundation's support of that project with their donations. Really appreciate McCook Community Foundation for that. And a big thank you to all the supporters that helped fund the program. And he appreciates the annual update on data. So what I just bored everybody with a few minutes ago. And that was a pretty quick synopsis, what I did. And the accountability measures that we have plugged in. We don't have to share our local, there's no rule to say we have to take our local assessment data and share it with folks. We do it because we want everyone to know what we are doing and where we're at. I think our teachers and I and our administrators believe that we need to share that data. And Jeff wanted to thank all the teachers and workers for their significant, or all the teachers and staff members' significant others. Okay, so all the husbands and wives of our staff members, because teachers give up a lot of family time. They give up a lot of free time to participate in school and to be an educator or a coach or a supervisor. So we really appreciate all of our spouses and significant others. And then Brad wanted to, again, focus on Bison Days. It was wonderful, and the work that everyone put into it. And he also commented on the boys' dance at the McCook and North Platte basketball game. We had that. That's an annual event, and I know the dance team. Mrs. Hill does an amazing job with that group. And I actually got in the way a little bit of her having those kids practice because I think I had some snow days in there and some late starts and some things. So really appreciate the work she does and the work that those girls do, getting those boys ready for the dance. And I know my son really enjoyed being part of that. And then one thing, my comment was on, we do these recruiting fairs. We've gone to three so far this school year. We have about three left to go to. And these recruiting fairs, we're looking for teachers. And so we go to University of Nebraska-Kearney. We go to UNL. We went to Fort Hays yesterday. We've got Northern Colorado. We've got Wayne State and another one coming up. And we try to convince kids that McCook's an amazing spot. But one of the things that we have to do a lot of times is a lot of kids, if you're from South Sioux City, you don't know anything about McCook. And so we have to, I think we do an excellent job of sharing that. But Mr. Borland saw that, you know what, if we had a tool to share with them a document that would really help. So he created basically a magazine that shares what McCook's like. It shares some technical things like our salary schedule and, you know, sort of our coaching experience, those types of things. But it also shares just a little bit about the community itself. And so, and even our location, because some kids don't know where McCook is at in the state of Nebraska, especially if you go out of state. It's a really nice document. And so I appreciate that I have an administrator who noticed that we were missing something and then just went forward and created a really nice document that we can share. And what I think is probably going to happen is over the course of the next several years that document continues to grow and be refined and become a better tool for us to use when we go and we recruit young folks to McCook. And those are all the positives.
Wow. That was a heck of a meeting last night.
Yeah, I know. Well, I knew I was going to go. I was hoping to go kind of close to time. I apologize for
You're
going
fine.
Over.
No problem. The March meeting is going to be held what date?
Oh.
Hey, man, look at it. March.
I know. March. Looks like 13th.
March 13th.
Yep.
Wow.
So a month.
Right, almost to spring break time, huh?
Yeah, we're getting close. Yeah, that'll be right after actually spring break, I think.
After spring break. All right. Thank you very much. Good stuff.
Thank you.